Last time we ran out of time as we attempted to conclude our discussion of Dervishein Makabel Tumba in the context of Ksamim. Just to clarify or expand on a couple points that we didn't get to fully discuss last time, we noted that many Toskim assume that synthetic materials are not Makabel Tumba. Let's say nylon is not Makabel Tumba in the context of Ksamim. But there is an important caveat to that, which is very relevant to the halakha, which is that even if we assume that nylon of the like are not Makabel Tumba, nevertheless, if you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Kalim Perek Aleph, Se'if, Halacha Gimel, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam, this is pointed out by, among others, the Sefer Shari Tara in Simen Tezayin, Shari Tara Simen Tezayin, where Vavadia points this out as well, that the Rambam here essentially just quoting a Mishnah Kalim, Perek Yuzayin, Mishnah Yugimel, Kalim Yuzayin Yugimel, the Rambam writes here in Gimel Aleph, that's what we noted last time, that anything made out of materials that originate in the ocean and the sea are not mekabel tuma. Afa ori begad misemer hagadol b'yam eina mekabel tuma. If you have a type of wool that grows in the sea, that's also not mekabel tuma. However, chiver min hagadol b'yam im hagadol b'aretz. If you create some kind of begad that is a fusion of yam material and yabasha material, that includes both material that grows in the sea and material that grows ba'aretz, afilu chut o meshicha, even if there's only a string that is made out of land material, im chibro chibor shemesim es shneim kilo heinecha v'tumah, shemnim hazeh yitamazeh harei akol mekabel tumah. So if you use this chut o meshicha of aretz material to weave part of, or it's connected to the yam material in such a way that if one of the materials became tameh, the other would become tameh, then the entire beged becomes mekabel tumah. So that may well be the case. In most begadim that are fashioned from synthetic material, there's at least a little bit of non-synthetic material, a little bit of a string of material that would be mekabel tumah, samar pishta, or even cotton, if we assume, like many poskim, the cotton, the way it's processed contemporarily, is also mekabel tumah. So even if, in theory, you would have argued that nylon is not mekabel tumah, if it's constructed into a beged that includes other materials as well, the end product will be mekabel tumah.
Is that saying that only stuff that is like part of the structure of the object? Like, for example, you have wipes that have like scents from things that are from the artist, like let's say aloe plants. But it's not part of like the material, it's just like a scent. That's not the main category.
It's not. I'm sorry?
You said quote.
Right, it's not part of the material, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about when it's connected, woven together. Okay, there's a little bit of discussion if you look at the Mishnah Melech here on this Rambam as to whether this din applies only where the Dover Tameh adheres to the part of the beggar that is Makabel Tumah. And then let's say the Davar Tameh adheres to the Chut, so then the entire beggar would be Makabel Tumah. What if the Davar Tameh adheres to the synthetic material? And is this halacha the same for both Nega'im and for other forms of Tumah? So that's potentially a two or three way machlokas that the Mishnah Melech discusses over here. But bottom line, Lamaisa, I think we do assume that even those synthetic materials are not mekabel tumah, but if they are fashioned in such a way that there is a chut minimally of a davar ha-mekabel tumah together with it, it would be mekabel tumah ksamim. Yeah.
Is mekabel tumah negam?
It is mekabel tumah negam. Yes, it's a mishnah negam as well as a mishnah in Kalim. Negam perek aleph mishnah aleph, and Kalim perek yizayin mishnah yugimel. Okay. The other ha'ara from last time is we noted a citation that Rav Karp had from Rav Yashiv that we were trying to understand that when it comes to a pad, if it's less than Gimel Tvachim or Gimel Tvachim, it may in theory not be Mekabel Tumah because the shear for material other than Samar Pishtim is Gimel Tvachim as opposed to Gimel Isbaos. We noted that's a little bit curious because it seems, in context of the Rambam, tells us in Shabbos Daf Kavav, as well, that whole discussion of Shir Gimel Esbos, or Gimel Esbos versus Gimel Tzvachim, or Gimel Tzvachim, was only relevant for a daga that started out with a Shir that was then cut into a smaller piece, and that smaller piece doesn't have a Shir. But if you are weaving something from the start, Arig is Bekoshu. So if you have something which is fashioned as such, then those Shirim of Gimel Tzvachim, or Gimel Tzvachim, or Gimel Esbos, or Gimel Esbos shouldn't be relevant. So Rav Yashar himself, in Kovitz Shuvas, Chelav Gimel Simen Kuf Lamed Gimel, Chelav Gimel Simen Kuf Lamed Gimel, Rabbi Yudelam pointed out this karma to me. Rav Yashar himself there writes that if you have a pad which is fashioned in order to protect a woman from dam, so that's considered that it's made for that purpose, it's made Lomalbush, and we move the Kabbal Tuma Bekoshu. Again, assuming it's made from material that could be Mekabal Tuma, it's made from cotton, and Rav Yashar assumed this number of posts can do that, cotton, the way it's processed nowadays, is Mekabal Tuma. So that's what you would expect to see. So in light of that, I'm a little bit confused as to Rav Karp's citation of Rav Yashar that seems to say otherwise. Okay, I'll leave that as a question for now. Let's move on to discuss the third major exclusion within Ktumim, which is that of Bigdei Tzivonim. The Gemara Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph has the following four long lines down. Tanu Rabbanan, Beged Savua Mitame Mishum Kesem. If you have a colored beged, it is subject to Tumas Kesamim. Rabbi Nassim Bar Yosef Omer Eina Mitame Mishum Kesem. It's not Mitame Mishum Kesem. Shalav Tiknu Beged Savonim Leisha Ela Lahakil Al Kesbeya. They were only Misakein Beged Savonim to create a kula for Ksamim. Mara asks, Tiknu, my Tiknu, what do you mean? What does that mean that they were only misaking some for that reason? What takana are we talking about? Who heard of such a takana? Ela shelo hutru bigdei tzivonim l'isha ala hakel kismei. No, not Tiknu, but rather hutru. We're only matir wearing bigdei tzivonim for the purpose of saving her from Ksamim. Hutru mechal dasiri. So that sounds like otherwise it would have been usher. What would the yisur be? In the Tanan, the pulmul shel aspasyan is gazer al taras kasan v'al iras. So at the time that they were misakein, certain things should not be worn zecher lechorban, and because of the situation that Klai Yisrael faced. So at the time there was a contemplation that maybe they should prohibit women from wearing bigdei tzivonim as well, because that's a more pleasant, cheerful kind of clothing. The dikshu lizra bigdei tzivonim, amri ha'adifa kedei lahakel kesbei. But they decided better to allow women to continue to wear bigdei tzivonim in order to be mako for ksamim. Okay, so we'll come back to that hishtashalus in a few moments. But in the meantime, the Gemara who's presenting a machlokes tanoim is a beged savua mitami b'shem kesem or not. Tanakama says not, and Rav Nassim Bar Yosef says, Tanakama says yes, Rav Nassim Bar Yosef says no. What's this all about? So look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Lahakil al kismei, and why would we assume that there should be any difference between begadim levanim and begadim sivonim? She'ena kesem nikrbo kemar'e dam gomor. On a beged savua, a kesem does not appear as dam gomor. So the appearance of dam, or the appearance of a kesem, is somewhat altered when it appears on bigdei tzivonim. Going back to our initial analysis of the general exclusions from Ksamim, you could say in Rashi that because Ksamim are often not nicker kemare dam gomer on begadim tzivonim, Chazal made a blanket exclusion that all begadim tzivonim are not subject to tumas Ksamim, even if in the instance in front of you, perhaps the Dan's Mara is not so skewed. Or the Sharitara argues otherwise. He thinks in Rashi that it's only in an instance in where it's not Nikrbo Kamari Dam Gomor that the exclusion would apply. But if you have something where it is Nikrbo, maybe the exclusion would not apply, even if it's technically Sivonim. And he contrasts that with the Mashmos Rambam, or the lack of Mashmos in the Rambam, which we'll get to in a few moments. The Rambam, in his presentation, is so same, doesn't have such an explanation. So he thinks maybe that's a machlokas Rashi Rambam. According to the Rambam, there's a blanket exclusion of Ksavim from the Gadim Tzavonim. According to Rashi, it's more reason-oriented. Although again, I don't think that's at all Mochach and Rashi. You could say the way we suggested initially just as well. But that would be an afkamina, for example, in a case where, let's say, it's Vade Migufa on Tzavonim. So the same issue we discussed earlier in the context of Bris could be relevant in Tzavonim as well. If you have something that you know is Migufa but it's on Tzavonim, is it a absolute exclusion from Gzeiros Tzavonim, or is it somewhat reason-oriented where if I know that it comes Migufa, you'd have to be Machmir, even if it's on Tzavonim. And this will be relevant to some of the details within the Gadim Tzavonim that we'll discuss in the next few moments. Yeah. Okay, so if you look in the Rambam, the Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Chazayin, Isur Rebiya. And the Rambam Paskins as do Rov Rishonim that the Gadim Tzavonim were not subject to Tumas Ksamim like Rebbe Nasa and Bar Yosef. The Rambam writes, V'lo b'mekabel tuma alone, el imkein haya lavan, abat klit tzavonim, ein choshishin l'kesem en imtza behem. So not choshish for a kesem that appears on tzavonim. Okay, so again, that's how Rov Rishonim Paskin, that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch, that's the mission of the Rambam, the Rashba of the Rush. If you look in the Ramban's Hilchos Nida, Perek Dalit Alach Avav, the Ramban Paskins L'chumra, the Ramban Paskins that there is no Kula of Sivonim when it comes to Samim. Perek Dalit Alach Avav. Mutza Al-Gabe V'gadim Afilu Hayu Klei Sivonim Mikev and Shadam Nikr Behen Tmeh. The Buster Rashi wrote in the explanation for the exclusion of Tzavonim that is not Nikr, Kamara, Dam, Gomor. The Ramban says just the opposite, that Dam is Nikr, or it's sufficiently Nikr, and because it's sufficiently Nikr, Klei Tzavonim are subject to Tumas Ksamim. Okay, that's the position of the Ramban, and that is quoted by the Agos Maimonides here on the bottom of the Rambam, B'Shem Rabbeinu Simcha as well. Agos Maimonides, Perek Tes Os Vav. Kotzar Rebbeinu Simcha was Machmir. And the original, the printed version of the Agos Maimonides, it says, V'chein Kosev Ra'avan Kidvarav. The Ravan says this as well. So if you look at the Dogel Mervav over here, on the bottom of Sif Yud, on the side of Sif Yud, in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber wrote, "Kasam shenim sal beget savua tahora." Dr. Mervave asks, "Timhani, shelo hediu shum cholik? Why did the Mechaber not quote a second opinion in Rishonim? Because my video is kasam v'shem ben simcha v'shem ravan shelo amen begemara davar zel l'tara beget shelo itami taras." So the presentation, the Ramban doesn't explain that much. The Ramban doesn't say this, but in the Rabbeinu Simcha in the Agos Maimonides, he says that we do assume an exclusion of Tzavonim for the Beged, but not for the women. So we're machmir on the woman, even while we're makel on the beged. That's the Rebbeinu Simcha that the Gos Maimonides quotes. The opposite of the Svaros of the Chasam Sofer and others that we noted in the past, but the Chasam Sofer explained, based on the Rav of Bezdin, that the whole Ishtashlus of Zeres Ksamim is, and the Nod Behud in the context of Eidim HaKabal Tumah, is starting from the Beged and being more machmir on, starting from the Beged, that the Beged is more chamer than the Isha. And here the Rebbeinu Simcha is saying that the Isha is more chamer than the Beged, be that it's May. The Dogma Vava says, why is it that the Mechaber seems to ignore a significant position in Rishon, Rebbeinu Simcha and the Ramban? The Kevin Shagam Ramban, Machmir, Kevivur Bebeis Yosef, Kasha Lahakel Negesh, Shlosha Chamurei Olam. So these are three significant Rishonim, they can't ignore them. And therefore, the Dogma Vava, the Nodri Huda thinks, it's difficult to be Makel Lemaisa. Where is this Ravan? So the Rav Avadia points out there is no such Ravan. And it's presumably a typo in the Gos Maimonides. It's supposed to be the Ramban. The Ramban, we know, we just saw Paskin's Lulchon Ra. And we have the Rebbeinu Simcha in the Gos Maimonides, but there's no such Ravan. So says the Taras Avayas, with all respect to the Nod Behuda, we're actually only down to two such Rishonim, and not three. And if you look in the Piskei Teshuva here, Sif Katan Kaf Aleph, Piskei Teshuva quotes from the Nod Behuda's own Talmud Mufik, the Tshuva's Tshuva Me'ava, who was not willing to accept his Rebbe's psak, and comes out b'mekel. The bottom line, there may be two Shitas and Rishonim that we're aware of who are Machmer on the Shaila, but Lemaisa, we're Paskei Lekulam Shulchan Aruch, and despite the Nod Behuda's attempt to change the Psak, it didn't really take hold. Yeah, all right.
I mean, even if it was these three, the Shulchan Aruch, what is the method of Psak? Is it would be to Paskei like the Rav anyway?
Right, okay.
So what's the Gmakom Tema on the Shulchan Aruch?
Good. Good.
The Rosh and the Rif weighed on this, so
the
that
Rosh,
is a or
yeah. The Rosh is beferish that we pass in. The Rosh is like the Rambam. The Rosh is beferish.
Right. So
yeah.
But still, the question is in the style of the Mechaber to bring a Yeshon. It's not that we should pass him like
correct.
The
yeah,
Rambam
yeah.
Is
correct.
To throw it in as a Yeshon.
Correct.
I thought he says that you should be.
No, Nod Behuda himself thinks he should be Machmer. His kasha on the Mechaber isn't why the Mechaber was a Machmer, it's why the Mechaber didn't quote as a Yeshomer. And Nod Behuda himself thinks that you should be Machmer because happy to ignore three Gedole HaRishonim. And the Frankel Rambam, they already changed the Girsa in the Gos Maimonides from Ravan to Ramban. Okay, let's go back to the Rambam himself. The Rambam writes, again, Elim Kain Hayolavan, Aval Kleitziv Onim Ein Choshish in Lekasim Nimsevahen. Then he adds, Lefikach Tiknu Chachamim Shetilba Shaisha Digde Tzivonim. Therefore, Chazal were Mesakin that a woman should wear Tzivonim, Kidei Latzila Midin Aksamim, in order to save her from potential Ksamim pitfalls. So what's this formulation of Lefikach Tiknu Chachamim? The Gemara had a line of Tiknu, and the Gemara rejects it in the end with its new history of what happened and the Havamin of the time of Pulmas Shel Aspasianus. So the Gemara seems to have rejected the formulation of Tiknu. That's what the Kesef Mishnah addresses here. Look in the Kesef Mishnah, the Gemara rejected that stage of Tiknu. So why is the Rambam right? Well, look, lefikach Tiknu Chachamim, there's a takana, shetilba she'isha digde tzivonim. Maskan the Gemara sounds like it's a heter. You would have thought that we should have asked the tzivonim for other reasons, for post-Chorban reasons. Kamash Rolan, we never decided to answer it, but there's no takana. So either suggesting as a Mishnah the Rambam a different gears in the Gemara, such that even the Maskana, the takana remains, and there was a takana, an actual formal requirement that women wear Bigdei Tzivonim Lahatzil Alek Samim, or she was sober, the cave in the low itchi, Maida Amri Tiknu. The Gemara's rejection of the Takana was because at that stage the Gemara had no knowledge of what the basis for such a Takana would have been. But Hashad Armina Bepumash al Aspasyanus Nasnu Menasu Chachamim Bitei Tzavonim Iklam Nemer Daz Tiknum. So maybe even the Maskanas of Gemara, there was a Takana at the time of the Pumash shel Aspasyanus. It wasn't simply that they decided not to aser Bigdei Tzivonim, but they even decided to proactively require that women wear Bigdei Tzivonim. That's the Kesef Mishnah suggesting how the Rambam ends up with this formulation of Tiknu, even though at first glance it doesn't seem to emerge from the Maskana Sagumar. But that part of the Rambam doesn't make it to Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber just writes, Kesef Mishnah al Beged Tzavua Tahora. And the Rama adds, Lefikach, Tilba Sha'isha Bigdei Tzivonim Kedei Latzila Miksamim. So he doesn't have that line of Tiknu, the word of Tiknu, the Rambam. He leaves that out. He just writes, Lefikach, Tilba Sha'isha Bigdei Tzivonim. Says the Torah Sashlamim here, Siv Katan Yud Dalid. It's a recommendation. Even though the Kesef Mishnah, the Beis Yosef, tried to defend the Rambam, where he got this formulation of Tiknu from, bottom line, it's a dochak. And for that reason, says the Torah Sashlomim, the Ramah, even though he's essentially, according to the Rambam, leaves out that word of Tiknu, and he presents it simply as an Eitz Tova. Recommendation, good advice, that a woman should wear Tzivonim to be Matzil from Tzamim, but not that there's any formal Takana to that effect. Look at the Piskei Shuvi here, Sivkat and Kaf Beis. Sefer Amudei Kesef, Tzavya, Kasev, Zanira, Dafka, Tilbash, Tamid. Aval Kedei Lahatzil, Bimei Nidaso, Bimei Livun, Alok. So it doesn't mean that women should wear Tzivonim every day of the year. She should not be wearing Tzivonim, Bimei, or need not be wearing Tzivonim, Bimei Nidaso, nor Bimei Libuna. What does that mean, Limei? So, Yimei Libuna is her Shiva Nakiyam. That we understand that women shouldn't be wearing Tzivonim, as we'll discuss later. What does that mean, Bimei Nidasa? Bimei Nidasa, if she has a flow, then obviously Tzivonim isn't going to help anything. So, the Badr Shulchan suggests maybe it means Bimei Vesta. That Biyom HaVest, when she expects to see Dam, maybe then she shouldn't be wearing Tzivonim. That's as far as the recommendation as to when to wear Tzivonim. But, seems Pashut, that whenever a woman does wear Tzivonim, Tzivonim works to be Matzil Minaksamim. So in theory, even if a woman were to be wearing Tzivonim, Bimei Libuna, it would be effective. That's where Moshe writes in Chayli Bei Simenayin Ches, Chayli Bei Simenayin Ches. There could be situations where a woman is having a hard time becoming Tahora. due to some ksavim issues. So, under extenuating circumstances, there may be situations where a woman could be advised to wear tzivonim, even bimei libuna, even when she's counting shivanakim, in order to be matzil min haksam. Rav Osner writes that you still shouldn't do that on day 1 and day 7. Rav Moshe doesn't seem to make that distinction. Rav Moshe seems to assume even day 1, day 7, when appropriate, if a woman is having a hard time becoming tahora, then she could wear tzivonim to the extent that that would be helpful. This recommendation of tzivonim applies not only to begadim, it applies to sheets, to blankets, to pillowcases as well, that a woman, bimei tarasa, should not use white sheets or pillowcases or blankets to be matzil min haksamim. Rabbi Willig says you shouldn't own white sheets. If you don't own white sheets, then you won't use them.
But what about during bimei libuna? There's no chumra for...
So we'll talk about that, whether there's a chumra to use white sheets. Some poskim are machmir, many are not. We'll discuss that in this context. Parenthetically, the Sefer Shari Tara has the following question. You see over here that there's a recommendation, even if it's not a formal takana, but a recommendation, a strong recommendation, that women should wear begadim tzivonim to be matzil min haksamim. So does that apply to other situations as well, where a woman could do certain things to be matzil min haksamim? Can a woman be osekes biksamim in order to be matzil min haksamim? Can a woman put herself in a situation in which there's going to be a ready taliya in order to be matzil min haksamim? So is this a model for other applications, or is this unique to begadim tzivonim? Shari Tara poses this as a question. I saw Rabbi Forrest in chapter 11, footnote 39. Chapter 11, footnote 39, quotes him a sefer Meinida, that no, you're not allowed to do that, that there's a fundamental difference between tzivonim and other taliyas. Tzivonim is totally mufka from tumas ksamim. There's a broad exclusion that any beged that is tzavu is not mekabel ksamim. Tlios are different than tzavonim. It's not a broad exclusion from ksamim. It's that in a given situation, there's a suffix that's created because of other circumstances that may have caused the dam that you see. So in such a situation where we have a tlia, you have the right to be tola on the other explanation for the dam as opposed to saying that it's dam migufim. That's not a blanket exclusion, and therefore you don't have the right to lichatila put yourself into a situation of being osek miksamim in order to be matzil min haksamim. There is a tshuva, the Chasam Sofer, quoted in the Piskei Tshuva of Katan Kaf Aleph. Piskei Tshuva Kaf Aleph quotes the Chasam Sofer, Simen Kuf Samach Aleph. Tshuva Chasam Sofer, Simen Kuf Samach Aleph. The Chasam Sofer suggests and assumes the halakha that the kulos of ksamim, the begadim tzivonim, don't apply to a beged asamach lubsara. Don't apply to undergarments, don't apply to something that's closely adhering to the body. Because if you find a kesem, even on a beged tzavua, if it's a beged that's samach lubsara, so then it's much more likely, or almost definitely, came migufa. One of the possible rise for that is the Gemara here of Pulma Shel Aspas Yanus. The whole discussion there was about asering Sivonim, Zeichu L'Chorban. So there's no havamin of asering Sivonim if it was the Gadim Hasmuchim L'Basar. It was only outer garments, not undergarments. So there's no, if that's all context, there's no havamin of ever asering colored undergarments. Yeah.
Why can't you say that the Gemara, when it says they just want that they don't want to get rid of that kula, but because they don't necessarily want to answer women from their husbands, you might have thought that maybe they want to answer the women to their husbands because of the time that we should be afraid that Hashem's like destroying us, quote unquote.
No, the whole context there is the examples of the Paras Hasanim, the things that are inappropriate, an inappropriate form of joy or celebration that are inappropriate at the time. We're talking about wearing certain things that are too much, too showy. So that's the Tshuva of Chasam Sofer. Most later poskim, aside from some of the Hungarian holdouts that follow everything the Chasam Sofer said, but most of the later poskim dispute this psak of the Chasam Sofer. So if you look at the Chazon Ish, for example, Chazon Ish Simen Peches Os Dalid, Simen Peches Os Dalid, in pretty strong words, the Chazon Ish was never afraid to argue with the Chasam Sofer. Chazon Ish writes, Tamuam Od, De Ilu Haya Chaluk Bidavar, Eich Sasmu Hadavar Kala Poskim. Ilu Haya Chaluk Bidavar, sorry, Eich Sasmu Hadavar Kala Poskim, the Nasna Mechsha Larabit. No one before the Chasam Sofer ever suggested that there's a distinction between Begadim Elyonim and Begadim Tachonim for Tzibonim. So how could it be, if the Chasam Sofer is correct, that no one in the history of the world, until the Chasam Sofer himself, made this distinction, and all these Gedolia Poskim were machshil women, bedavar chamor, and not telling them about this important distinction. And if you're talking about svaras, there's no real svara to be mechalik. If the whole basis of kulas ksamim and tzivonim is that it's not nira kamara dam gamor, so it's not nira kamara dam gamor on the godim tachtonim as much as on the godim elyon. That's what Rav Avadi writes on page Shin Pei Tes. That mistimas kolaposkim, no one seems to distinguish between the beged elyon and the beged tachton. And he goes to Marsham, who says what we just said, that the whole basis of this kula, of this exclusion, is how is a dam nikur beged sabua, and there's no reason to distinguish between outer garments and undergarments. That's the Tshuvas Marsham. Chelik Aleph, Simen Pei Aleph, Chelik Aleph, Simen Pei Aleph.
So, is there any major poskim who accepted this?
Who accepted the Chasam Sofer?
In the modern.
Rav Vosner writes that even though the Minag is against the Chasam Sofer, but if it's more than a gris, it should be Machmir. Now, if it's less than a gris, you don't need
Sivonim.
So Vosner writes in Osei over here that even though the Minig acknowledges the Minig Olam is to be Megal against the Chasam Sofer, but he thinks that if it's more than a gris on Sivonim, Hasamach Lubasari, you should be Machmir, which essentially means that you should be Machmir for the Chasam Sofer. So yes, the Shevet Levi is Machmir, but most contemporary poskim argue. If you look in the Chol Guzman on page 76, and Rav Karp, they both point out that even the Chasam Sofer himself may only be discussing, in his context, whether we should advise women to wear tachtonim sivonim. But maybe even the Chasam Sofer would acknowledge that if a woman did it, it would still be matzil min haksamim. Again, it could be, they suggest, that the Chasam Sofer himself is only saying we shouldn't lechachila advise women to wear tachtonim sivonim, but if they did, as a matter of halacha, it would still be matzil min haksamim. So whether or not that's true, the bottom line is just about all the later poskim reject the Chasam Sofer lehalacha and are mekel on sivonim, even bibegadim tachtonim.
So the Chasam Sofer is not such a big kiddush because anyway you have the Ramban, right? You have
right.
The Ramban, and also if she sees a kesem like
right.
Big as you know, she sees a kesem, then you could probably tell her to be, although you're not tame, maybe
right. So that's what we should
tell the situation.
We tell her to be tame. Correct.
No,
but here
he's just being in a way.
No, but here we're saying even if you waited, you know, if you're mapping like the Chasam Sofer, then you have to start counting. You have to go through the whole process.
You need chip and that's
it. Yeah. Okay. Now, what seva, what shade is considered sivonim? So there's a Chuvas Me'il Staka that the later Achronim quote. Who points out Rashi and Daf Yud Zayin.
Where's the Me'il Staka?
The Me'il Staka is quoted in Rav Avadya on page Shin Sadi. I don't remember the siman. The Me'il Staka itself, the Rav Avadya quotes on page Shin Sadi, and the Chachma Sadam and the Alter Rebbe basically adapt this position on the Me'il Staka as well. The Chachma Sadam is in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Oz Tes, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Oz Tes. So, Rashi di Ravaska below the Pishta, and the Gemara here is discussing what material can be used for an aid bedika. So Rashi here writes, below the Pishta, she'eno lavan yuzayinam and aleph, she'eno lavan ve'ein dam nikar yafa ella be'eid lavan. So the bag of Pishta the Gemara is talking about here is not lavan, and dam is only nikar yafa be'eid lavan. So the Me'il Staka says, you see from this Rashi, that when we talk about lavan, lavan is to the exclusion of any other color. So even if you have a lighter shade, that would still be included in kulas ksamim for begadim sivonim. There's some discussion, and that's quoted, let's say, in the Chachmas Adam, Kuf Yud Gimel, those tests. He writes as follows. The Ein Chilek Beinim Utsavua Adam Oshar Tzivonim. So, not only, obviously, if you have a bega that's red, so ein adam nira kemar adam gamur, because red on red doesn't give you a good picture, but even other colors have the exclusion of tzivonim. What about very light colors, light pastels? So that's a bit of a discussion among the contemporary poskim. Ravuzner is machmir. He's machmir on yellow. Rav Avadya argues.
Who is Rav Avadya?
Where? Over here. Shira Shevet Levi here.
Okay.
And also in Shuva, Chelek Bay, Simon Pei Zayin. The Shri Rishabi Levi here on Simon Kupsadi, and Shuva Chelek Bay, Simon Pei Zayin. So he's Machmer on yellow. Rav Avadi is Makel. The Sefer Chok is Mankos, and Rav Yashiv is Machmer, and Pastels. Rabbi Willings Mako. I think Rabbi Forst sounds more Lakula, but he quotes the Machlokas. Off-white, Evan would seem to agree, is not Sivona. Even if technically you can distinguish between off-white and white, off-white halachically is basically white.
So the shade of Levi is yellow, is the pastel yellow, the pale yellow, or the bright yellow?
His description of yellow is yellow that is close to white. So I don't know, I'm not a color expert. I don't know exactly how you categorize that. But a yellow that's closer to white.
So who are the Makilim in the major?
Vadis Mako. I think even the Badi Yashulchan, I don't remember the Badi Yashulchan is Makel bottom line. Rabbi Willing is Makel. I think Rabbi Forrest sounded Lakula, or at least gave equal time to both positions. And my impression that more common practice is to be Makel. And this may or may not go back to the original framing of the question, if how much is a blanket exclusion and how much is reason-based of Lundira, the Gemara Dam Gomer. Shuvas Betzel HaChachma, Chelek Hei Simen Kuf Mem Tes. Shuvas Betzel HaChachma, Chelek Hei Simen Kuf Mem Tes, from Betzal Stern. He has the following Shiloh. Let's say you have a Beged Savua that is Savua on one side and white on the other side. Let's say you have a garment where the outside is color and the inside is white. And you have a kesem that lands on the outside, and then it soaks through and ends up on the inside. So the initial contact is on the side that's savua, but ends up on the side that's lava.
It's double side, meaning it's two garments pasted together, or it's
one garment, but let's say your shirt had a blue inside. And the outside is yellow, and is white, and the inside is blue. In this case, vice versa.
Right?
The
inside is color?
Well,
does it
matter? It matters because it's usually down to fall on the outside, so presumably the outside is colored, the inside is white, so it falls on the outside, and then it soaks into the inside. What would you say?
Probably
kesem. Well, it is a kesem, but it's a kesem that's tahor or tameh.
It's kesem that's tameh.
Why?
Because the whole, it seems like, even if you say that it's a blanket exclusion, it presumably only applies to things where you can't determine the color. But if you can determine the color with the same certainty as if the other side was white, it shouldn't matter that one side's not.
Okay, so the Betzel HaChachma assumes the opposite. He assumes that the status is nikba at the time that the kesem lands, so to speak. So if it starts on the color side, we already establish it as Sivonim. And even if it then continues to leak onto the other side, but we've already established that it's included in the Kula of Sivonim. Rav Avadi assumes the opposite. Vavadia Pei Shin Sadi Vav assumes it's a Devar Pashat, that she's definitely Tmei in this case, but doesn't really explain.
That's assuming we know which side it fell on. But if we
correct.
If we find it, we don't know which side it came from. So
right, presumably
that's part of Kesem. I mean,
right.
Pos.
If you don't know which side it came from, then you can still argue either way. Possibly. Anyway, so I'm not fully sure what this is based on. It sounds like the Mesel Chachma is assuming that we establish status based on the initial presentation of Kesem, even if it goes somewhere else afterwards, or even if it's almost immediate. And Rav Avadia seems to assume otherwise. I'm not sure. I didn't see this shyly discussed in print elsewhere. What is discussed more is in the Piskei Tshuvos here, beginning with Sifkat and Kaf, Ayin v'tshuvos mil staka simin samach beis v'din kesem shenims al beged menumar gavanim harbe levanim v'shar tzvan. So there's a beged that has patches. It has some color and some white, and it's not all contiguous. V'lo haya kishir kesem al nimor lav and efod el shahaya mechuber v'avar al gabi chelik hatzavua tzavet cheles v'yotze agav halavan shebetzido. The open shebein shnei chalakim shagabi pispis shnei halavanim haya ben shnei kishir. So you had white savua white, and there's no gris of contiguous white, but there is a gris between the two whites, even though you have a colored section in the middle. Here the Bilal Saka assumes that while you can't be mitzaref the kesem that's on the tzeva, but the two levanim are mitzaref, because bottom line, it's one whole kesem, and you have a gris of the kesem on chelik levan. Okay, so you have white, blue, white. The kesem includes both white and blue areas. And sach hakol, there's a sheer gris on the white areas, even though that gris is not on a contiguously white area.
So are the two on the lavan attached only because of the part that's going over the tzavua, or the
yes.
So it's not like tipin tipin.
It's not tipin tipin. Right.
Tipin tipin because they're not connected. Then.
Right. So they are. It is all connected. Yeah. But you have a chelakat tzavua, which is masik, or which is part of that kesem. So he assumes, the middle stock assumes, in that case, you have to be machmir, because sach hakol, you have a kesem of a gris on levon. Okay. So that much, I think the majority opinion of poskim is the chumra on that, even though Rav Avadia Kosef Semach said that argues. But that seems to be the psak on the kubal, that if you have lavan, tseva, lavan, and you have a total of a gris between the chelke halavan, even though you have tseva that's mafsik, that were mafmiran. Right? But then, yeah?
Even though if we had tipin tipin, you know, and if we wouldn't start, we wouldn't
right.
Share, we would not say that that's a kesem.
Correct.
Yeah.
But then the second issue that he discusses, which the Piskei Tshuva then segues into, let's look at this, and Rav Kiveger quotes this in a more condensed form. So look at Rav Kiveger here to our Se'if. Im hu minumer tseva al lavan, v'kesem al tseva, v'yotze al kitzosav al halavan. So you have a kesem that starts on the tseva and expands out onto the lavan. That's what we just said. Tahora. But if you don't have a shear gris on the lavan, in order to get a shear gris, you need to be mitzaref the tseva that we're makelan. That you can't do. You need to have a gris on the lavan itself. Why would you say otherwise? So if you look in the Chavis Das here, Chavis Das assumes l'chumra, because bottom line, the whole reason for the exclusion of the Begadim Sivonim from Zeras Psamim is because it's not near a Tamara Dangam. So what do you have over here? You have a Kesem, which straddles Tzavua and Lavan, but it's the same Kesem. So on the Lavan, it clearly is near a Kedam Gamar. So you're going to tell me, just because there's a technical exclusion, that part of it's on Tzavua, you can't tell what color it is? You know very well what color it is. It's near a Kedam Dam Gamar because of the Chelek on the Lavan, even though that Chelek itself is not a Gris. But you know it's all the same Kesem, and you know what it looks like, based on that sample that's on the Lavan. So that's why the Chavis Das is Machmir. Bottom line, if you have part of it on the Lavan, you could tell that it's Nira Kemara Dam Gamor. And it's clear that the Chelek on the Tzavua is part of the same Gesa. That's what the Chavis Das is Machmir. Ramosha is Machmir as well. Ramosha assumes like the Chavis Das, he thinks the Chavis Das as far as more compelling. Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Gimel, the last paragraph. Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Gimel. Igros Moshe, Ramosha is Machmir. He acknowledges, or he allows, that b'shas adchak b'makom puruvu you could be meko, meaning if it's someone who hasn't had children yet, hasn't been mekayim puruvu yet, and the machmir would lessen their ability to potentially be mekayim puruvu that month, then Rav Moshe says you could be meko. But in principle, Rav Moshe thinks that the chavis das sesvara is more compelling. Nevertheless, Rabbi Karp, Rabbi Avadia, Rabbi Forth, Rabbi Willig, and I think the larger consensus of poskim is makel on the shail across the board, that you need to have a shear gris on the chelek halavan in order to be metame mishon kesa.
We don't know for sure on the part that's on the tzavua, if you can't read
it. Either because we don't know for sure, or because that's the nature of the Xera. There's an exclusion of tzavim from tzavonim, and it's a technical requirement. This wasn't subject to the Xera's tzavim. Okay.
The other psak is working with the assumption that it's the same, that like when you do have a shear
right
on the lavan,
mm-hmm,
and it goes over the polka.
Right.
So it is assuming that it's the same kesem as well.
Right.
Yeah.
But there, bottom line, you have a shear on lavan,
yeah.
So then there's more reason to be machmir. Okay. Chachmas Adam Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Seif Yud Os Yud Kuf Yud Gimel Yud Paskins based on a Mishnah in the Gan. Mishnah in the Gan is Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah Gimel Yud Aleph Gimel. That how do we define something as tzavua? Let's say you have alternating stitches of tzeva and white. So you have a chassis that's white and arev that's blue, or vice versa. Like some of those shirts that have alternating white and blue stitches, but looks totally blue. What's that called? I think some of the not Oxford, but something, maybe it's Oxford. I mean, one of those kinds of stitches on a shirt, I think it's 50% white, 50% blue, but if you take a step back, it all looks blue. So that's what it depends on. It depends on what does it look like. So even if you have a chassis of one color and blue of white, and the arif of white, everything is nikva based on the appearance of the bag. If it looks like a bag of tzavua, we treat it as a bag of tzavua. If it looks like a white bag, we treat it as a white bag.
What about a leather garment as opposed to a leather couch? kesem on a leather couch, that's kolad as opposed to a kesem.
Okay, so we'll come to that right now. What about kulas ksamim on a black-skinned person? So Dayan Weiss has a tshuva, chelek yud simen ayin ches, chelek yud simen ayin ches. There's no kulas tzivonim, no kulas ksamim of tzivonim on basar. We never find such a thing. The discussion is on begadim, on kelim. There's no such discussion on basar. So even if someone has skin of a different color, that doesn't bring up on kulas ksamim. And that is the general consensus of poskim, although I saw in the Sefer Chokuzman, page Pei, he quotes that Rav Eliashiv was megal on this, that a kesem on the skin, on colored skin, would have kulas ksamim. Curious if that's the case, that it's not quoted elsewhere in the Sefer Mishmaris Tara of Kar, because Rav Eliashiv, every other paragraph, says nothing from him on this, and he assumes that Davar Pasha, like the Minchas Yitzchak, that there's no kulas ksamim on basar. So whether or not Rabbi Yashiv said that, seems that the consensus is otherwise. Now there is,
Or Rabbi Yashiv, if he does say that, would the shading follow the regular shading clothing?
I presume so.
Cool, because like even a brown beged or like a light brown beged would be considered tzivonim, right?
Right.
So like, even a tan would fall under the kula.
Maybe the way he puts Rabbi Yashiv is really dark, but how you draw the light, I'm not sure. Right. But again, that doesn't seem to be the consensus of the poskim. Speaking to Yisrael Meir's point, there's a tshuva in Tzitz Eliezer Chelek Vav Simen Kaf Gimel. Chelek Vav Simen Kaf Gimel. Who analyzes a curious comment of the Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam Simen Kuf Tzadi Os Yud. In a parenthetical comment here writes, the Oros had Siv Onos Bidei Shamayim. If you have leather hides that are colored naturally, Mitamim B'Negayim, so they're subject to Tumas Negayim, V'Wadim B'Ksamim. And just as they're subject to Tumas Negam, Mishnah Negam Paraget Aleph, they're subject to Tumas Ksamim as well. So naturally colored hides are subject to Tumas Ksamim. Ubidei Adam Einam Mitamim. As opposed to hides that are colored Bidei Adam. About the Begadim, Ein Chilak Bein Savona Bidei Adam Bidei Shamayim. So when it comes to Begadim, whether or not the Begad is colored naturally, whether it's colored by man, it is Mufka from Tumas Ksamim, as opposed to by hide, by Oros, there's a difference between Bidei Shamayim and Bidei Adam. If it's Bidei Shamayim, it's still subject to Tumas Ksamim. If it's Bidei Adam, it's not. So that is true, that distinction is true in Hilchos Negayim. The question is whether that's true in Hilchos Ksamim as well. So some say that the Chachmas Adam is telling us that the definition of beged for Hilchos Ksamim is dependent on the definition of beged for Hilchos Negayim, which is something that we don't really find anywhere else, which would be the Kiddush, that the halachas would be transferable. Rabbi Karp suggests, Peit Sadi Dala, that's not the intent of the Chachmas Adam. The Chachmas Adam means to say is that if you have a hide that's savua bidei shamayim, it doesn't yet have the status of a kli. In order to make a hide into a kli, there has to be some action done to it, some man-made intervention in order to fashion into a kli. You just have a piece of hide from an animal that doesn't give it the status of a kli. So all the Chachmas Adam means to say, nothing to do with the garden per se, but in order for it to have the status of a kli, to be subject to kulas ksamim, it has to be savu bidei adam. If it's savu bidei shamayim, if there hasn't been any imprint of man on this, or then it doesn't become a kli, and it's therefore not subject to kulas ksamim. It has the status of karka. And if it has the status of karka, So then, kulas tzivonim only applies to begadim or kelim, doesn't apply to carpet. That's just part of the analysis. He said, that's a darav pashuk. That kulas samim of tzivonim only applies to begadim or kelim, doesn't apply to karka, doesn't apply to basar either. And that's the intent of the chachma asada.
So if it retains its original color, even though it's manufactured by a human,
if it maintains its original color,
it becomes a kli because it's now useful.
Right, but if it's not tzavua, so it's not tzavua. There's no kula of tzavua, it's not tzavua.
Yeah, if it is tzavua,
if it is tzavua, so you made it into a kli, and now it would have the status of tzavua.
Well, then why can't that be what the Chachma Sadu was talking about?
That's exactly what he says the Chachma Sadu was talking about.
Okay.
That's his point.
Needs to be made into
that's
clear.
His explanation of the Chachma Sadu. Nothing to do with Nagan per se. You can make it into a clear or not.
Didn't Chachma Sadu say if it was naturally colored, it is metame b'ksama?
Right, it is tame.
Right, but according to Rav Karp, if he's reading this karka, the amount of shach is not tame.
No, it's like karka as far as defining it as a clear.
Right, and that's why. But if it's not a
clean,
then it's not
a
anyway.
No, it's not. It's not karka in the sense of Edom Kabbal Tumma. It may. Meaning, if you have Oros Tzvuas Bidei Shamayim, it may still be Mekabbal Tumma. It's not considered Mechubala Karka. So you're saying, what status of Kli does it have in order to be Mekabel Tumah at all? It has to... Why are Oros Mekabel Tumah? Here, I assume that there's a technical reason that it still would be Mekabel Tumah as Negam or Ksamim, even though it's not a classically. We have to work out the details there. Okay, good.
So the gazette is only on a leather bag we're talking about. But if it was a leather couch, there would be no Hesher Sivonim?
If it's a leather couch, no, so a couch might be, because, oh, give me a minute, let's just finish this and then... If you look in the Lashon HaRambam, again, Paritas Zayin Yisur Diyam. I mean, there are potentially three options. Right? You could say that the Kulas HaKsamim apply equally to Begadim, Kalim, and everything in the world, even if it's not a Kli. You could say it applies to Begadim and Kalim, but not to Karka or not to Basar. But you could say it only applies to Begadim and doesn't even apply to Kalim. Now, technically speaking, Lashon HaGemara on Samach Aleph, probably 4th points this out, Lashon HaGemara on Samach Aleph is simply Beged Tzavua, so technically, Gemara is talking only about Caleb, that begadim, perhaps even to the exclusion of Caleb. That's what the Sholem Yeshiv is bothered. Sholem Yeshiv Madura Tlisa, Chelik Aleph Simon Shin Samach Beis, Chelik Aleph Simon Shin Samach Beis. Sorry, going a little over time, but we're wrapping up. Shalmeshu is bothered, other Achonim also. The Gemara in Samach Aleph discusses the status of Tuma, of a Kesem, and an Ola Shel Zayis. And the Gemara there never suggests that maybe Ola Shel Zayis is not Mekabel Ksamim because it's Savua. or karka olam. Is karka olam white? Karka olam is also tzavua. That's what some akonim say. Don't you see from there, there's some limitation in the application of tzivonim. At least it's limited to begadim and kelim, if not only begadim. So the Lashon HaRambam, klei tzivonim, ein choshen lekasem nemsa behem. Klei tzivonim. Lefikach nechachamim, shetilvash isha bigdei tzivonim. Klei tzivonim aren't ein choshen lekasem, lefikach nechachamim, shetilvash isha bigdei tzivonim. So the Rambam sounds like it's not limited only to begadim, it applies to kelim also. That's what the Shari Tara points out in the end of Siman Yuches. Shari Tara, the end of Siman Yuches. If the Rambam meant to say begadim, so only, he wouldn't have switched between kelim and begadim. But he could have understood, in a vacuum, klei tzivonim means bigdei tzivonim. But the Rambam, the next line says bigdei tzivonim, so it's clear that klei tzivonim is broader than just begadim. From the Rambam, at least, it sounds like the kula of tzivonim applies not only to begadim, but to kelim as well, although arguably not beyond. It wouldn't apply to something that's not a kli, wouldn't apply to basar, wouldn't apply to karka, or the like. So that's what Rabbi Forth points out, that if this is true, that it doesn't apply to basar, then if you had a kesem on nail polish, that would not be subject to the kula of tzivonim, because that's al basar. That is a compelling argument that the kula tzivonim is somewhat limited. It may include kelim also. So it may include, you have to see what kind of a couch or how we define a couch. But it would arguably not include karka or something that's not a kli or basar or the like. How many of you have made headway in the rest of Simchat Torah?